Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
I have a feeling it's going to be beautiful.
Well, hello there and welcome to the Tawonga Institute's continuing training for summer camp professionals about preparing for a safe and successful summer camp season, sponsored by the Foundation for Jewish Camp, where Jewish summers make a Jewish future. I'm Steve Gershick, and in studio today is Ken Kramars, longtime executive director of Camp Tawonga, based in San Francisco and operating in Yosemite National Park. Joining Ken is Robin Parvin, Emergency Preparedness Liaison for the Sausalito Sustainability Commission right here in the Bay Area. Robin, welcome.
Thank you, Steve. Great to be here again. We'd like to remind everyone the series is meant to get you started in incident preparedness and not a substitute for complete training in the incident command system, legal advice, or other professional guidance. Today, key roles in the incident command system. Ken, tell us what Tawonga does in the incident command system.
Well, we have a really unique situation, Robin, because as we said before, we're a private nonprofit, but we're located inside a national forest, a federally managed property. So we learned the incident command system from the professionals who invented it. ICS, although it's now the national standard, started right here in California by the United States Forest Service. And you guys who know me, don't hear me laud the federal government too often, but gotta say, this ICS is pure genius. So we lived this system with the federal officers for many years, and we took a large, complicated governmental system that was designed to deploy thousands of people in wildfires, and then we reduced it and refined it down to a scale that's usable by camps. Of course, we also train schools and churches and synagogues and community centers, but right now we're just talking about camps. We've taken this large federal model and put it into a form that's just right for a summer camp.
So you use the word incident instead of emergency or something maybe that might be more frightening.
That's a great question. That's exactly what we're doing here. Incident is kind of a neutral word. And all the language of the incident command system, in fact, the entire command system itself, is designed to de-escalate, to calm people down, because one of the natural things that happens in an incident is people get worried. You might be fearful. And so our language and our style wants to de-escalate.
Is there a vocabulary list or something that would help everybody speak the same language?
There is a standard vocabulary, and that's one of the beginning points of the incident command system. You know, back in the day, 30, 40 years ago, before we had this standardized system, there were a lot of misunderstandings. One guy would call for a tanker and meant a truck that carries water to a site, and the other guy heard tanker and he thinks, oh, that's the airplane that drops fire retardant from the sky.
I just had that happen. I was setting up an event and the event coordinator said, go get those dollies over there. And I was looking for push carts or something, and she meant the garbage cans on wheels. So it's good to have the same language.
Speaking of the same language, I was expecting Raggedy Ann.
The dollies.
Speaking of language, we've talked about this before, but define what you mean when you say incident. What is the definition of an incident?
Sure. An incident is any significant threat to life, property, reputation, or legal status. And I emphasize significant threat. You know, bumps and scrapes happen all the time. They're taken care of by your infirmary staff. You know, routine things happen every day at camp. You've got hundreds or maybe thousands of children under your care. We're talking about significant threats.
So what's the point of the incident command system? Why is it so important?
Well, it's important because we've learned through experience that regardless of the nature of the incident, whether it's human-caused or natural, intentional or accidental, the response to the incident always falls into four buckets of responsibility.
What are these four buckets and who leads them?
There's command, operations, logistics, and client care. Let's start with the commander. The commander is the person who's going to make all final decisions in the course of an incident.
What kind of person is a good commander?
This is a person who's comfortable taking charge and someone who people like to follow. The commander's got to juggle staff, clients, media, government responders. And I got to tell you, it's not necessarily the top of the food chain in your organization. I'll use myself as a personal example. In 2013, when we had the Rim Forest Fire, we've discussed that in other podcasts. I was the executive director of Camp Tawanga, but we had decided in advance that the better incident commander was going to be Jamie or Becca, the camp directors, principally because they were in the right relationship with staff and they were in the right physical location, since I'm deployed mostly from our San Francisco office.
Who works most closely with the commander?
Well, the commander's got two teams. The commander's internal team is made up of a scribe. That person is writing down all data, all time stamping, phone numbers, names, and so forth. The liaison officer, that's the person, in the case of a large-scale incident, when responders from different organizations are coming to camp, they're getting names and identities of all the responders. And the public information officer, or PIO, very important person, and that's the third key member of the commander's internal command staff.
Is the public information officer the spokesperson for the agency?
Generally, no. The public information officer, and we're going to go into this in podcast five, but the PIO is responsible for crafting materials, distributing materials, monitoring social media. But generally speaking, it's the incident commander that's going to be the voice of the organization.
Oh, that makes sense. Now, who are the other leadership roles?
There's three section chiefs. The operations section chief, and that's a action-oriented person. They can organize people in fast-moving, complex situations. There's the logistics section chief, and that's the person who's able to gather materials and troops. And there's the client care section chief. That's the kind of person that's going to be very sensitive to the needs of vulnerable populations. And during summer camp is basically the person who takes over the duties of the summer camp director, who probably has become the incident commander.
So what should camp directors do right now?
All right, here's your action plan, camp directors. First of all, you're going to make the lists of potential commanders and section chiefs and cross-train them so that Jack could be potentially an operations section chief or a logistics section chief. He's trained for both. Secondly, you want to put your incident commander choices in priority order so that you know before the season starts that your first choice commander is Susie, your second choice commander is Bill. If an incident arises, everybody reports to the command post. They don't have to take any time to debate or wonder who's in charge. You just look at that list in priority order, and whoever's the highest ranking person there, they take charge instantly.
Thank you, Ken, about the key roles in incident command system. Camp directors, in podcast five, we will be discussing communication in an incident.
Thank you, Ken and Robin. Thanks again to our sponsors, the Foundation for Jewish Camp.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Ken. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. And to all you camp directors out there, just take these action steps. Take a deep breath. Everything's going to be all right.